Welcome to episode 30 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandchap.com. This is Eric Barzeski in northwestern Pennsylvania, which reached a high of 91 today.
Whoa.
Ugh. And Jeff Smith in Washington. Hello, Jeff.
Hello there. Reached a high of, what, 80 degrees?
Trevor Immelman grabbed his first PGA Tour win after kind of falling down a few times earlier in the year. The joke here is that he fell down on the 18th hole yet again, but it was after knocking a birdie putt in to win by two, when it was possible he could three-putt and finish in a tie with Tiger Woods and some others. But holds the birdie putt, wins by two. Congrats to Trevor Immelman finally stepping up here and winning something.
Yeah, that was great to see. I mean, it was an awesome finish, and he sure finished strong. And that unexpected long putt was pretty nice to watch.
Broke about 10 or 12 feet, about a 25-foot putt. It was interesting. You know, Tiger Woods had the same putt and left it on the low side, so it didn't quite hit it hard enough. Tiger certainly put it on a charge. I mean, shank notwithstanding, right?
Right. No, he was playing well, and it kind of made me think that, you know, again, he's settling into his new swing, and he's going to have to find himself following, you know, the loss of his father and so on. But I think, you know, some good things are to come from Tiger.
Yeah, his first event after missing the cut at the U.S. Open, so certainly there were some questions about that. He said his punishment was having to watch the final 2 days of the U.S. Open. Yeah. I could see how that might be punishing, but, you know, his swing looked okay. Obviously, he was in contention as opposed to Phil Mickelson, who shot a 67 and followed it with several rounds in the mid-70s to finish basically last out of everyone that made the cut.
No, he was practicing, though.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. He says, oh, I'm just practicing shots for the British Open. I'm not sure if that was an excuse or what, because, I mean, it seems kind of rude to say, yeah, I like the Western Open, but I really don't care. I'm just here to practice. You can practice shots on the range.
Yeah, this is nothing but a stepping stone for the majors, and I'm a major guy, so that's what I'm going to do.
You and your piddly little tournament. I'm not worried about winning. I'm not even trying. Yeah. I give up. I'm just going to work on this.
I really had the impression that it was kind of an excuse. I mean, he playing great. He was playing like he's been playing for a long time, minus, you know, the final hole of the U.S. Open. And then all of a sudden it kind of comes apart, and then maybe in his mind he thinks, oh, you know, I'm just practicing. I think he kind of tells himself that kind of stuff, and then does the same thing to the media.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that a few times, too. You have a great round going through 13 holes. You screw up the 14th hole and go, ah, it's just a practice round. And then you start hitting two balls, you know, and then you're like, ah, see, I broke all the rules. I can't post it.
Right.
You know, so maybe the same kind of thing there. But
yeah.
Did you see Tiger shank there on 15 on the final
day? I did. My question was that a true shank, or did he just push it hard?
It wasn't a true shank because it didn't go like the 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
But it was 15 or so. So it was as close to a shank as you'll see a pro hit, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
The ball contacted the hosel, you know, at least a small degree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ouch.
That hurt.
But again, hey, Trevor Immelman, no slight to you. We didn't really talk about you much, but congratulations. Vijay Singh, too, kind of fell out of the lead. He was the leader through three rounds. Fell out of it.
Yeah. He was right there again. I mean, he won a tournament, and I kind of expected, hey, you know, here's Vijay again. It's time for him to shine. But, you know, the day really belonged to Trevor. And, yeah. I was happy for him. I've been rooting for him. He seems like a pretty classy guy. He's got a really nice swing.
And Jim Furyk, of course, not necessarily of the nice swing category, also had a chance, the defending champion, also had a chance to get it done. Really didn't do it. I mean, it was basically Immelman and Tiger and a few other people kind of snuck in here and there. Goggin kind of hung in and things like that. But, hey, congrats to Immelman for fending off Tiger, and sure the shank helped a little bit. So speaking of bad putts helping someone win, Tom Watson missed about 14 2-foot putts, I think, on the senior U.S. Open. And yeah. Alan Doyle, who turns 58 in a week or so, won his second straight. Last year he won it with a 63. This year he wins it with a 68 to come from two back to win by two.
Yeah, wow. I mean, obviously he was really happy, but I'd be happy too if I had a swing like his.
You'd be happy if you had a swing like Alan Doyle?
I'd be happy if I won with a swing like that.
Oh, yeah. It's an interesting swing, but it goes to show you don't need to get to parallel. He barely gets to vertical.
Yeah, this is true. I don't think he gets his hands hip high.
I've had putting strokes longer than his entire swing, but, you know, he gets out there.
Right.
He's accurate, and he wins U.S. Opens, U.S. Senior yep. Opens anyway, back-to-back. So
consistent.
It was interesting to watch. You know, certainly Tom Watson, a hometown favorite there in Kansas City. Watson's from Kansas City. It was at Prairie Dunes. And bummer that he didn't pull it off for the hometown crowd, but really it's painful to watch his putting.
Yeah, and unfortunate. And, you know, on the other side, there's Doyle who says, well, you know, I was in a win or in a no-lose position, Watson being the favorite, and then if he pulls it out, well, then it's all good.
Yep, and if I do hey, I got nothing to lose. May as well go out and make some birdies.
That's it.
So he did. Brittany Glencicombe also, speaking of knocking off some top players, you know, Tiger falls, Annika Sorenstam falls, and Tom Watson falls in the Senior Open. But Annika Sorenstam and Michelle Wee both fell in the quarterfinals of the HSBC Women's Match Play. And Brittany Glencicombe, kind of a somewhat unknown, but obviously somewhat talented gal, like last year's Marissa Baena, walks out with a win in the Women's Match Play. She beat Julie Inkster in the finals, and Michelle
Wee. Ochoa that she beat out earlier in the day?
Right, yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty impressive stuff.
And Michelle Wee the round before that. And I found it interesting that Michelle Wee got flagged for not talking to her opponents much in these in the final two rounds that she played against Brittany and against, I forget who they she beat the round before that. But it's like, come on, guys. You know, so what? She didn't talk to you. She's trying to beat you. Do you really need to be all casual and chatty? I don't know.
I didn't even know that there was a rule about that. I mean, there's requirements for how much you're supposed to talk. Is there a certain word limit?
Apparently, they thought she was being catty or something by not talking or whatever. I
just don't know that she's very chatty.
Blow it out your cake hole. She didn't have much to say.
So I was going to say, when she does talk, whenever she opens her mouth, it's not much really there. apologies to Raffy.
Yeah, what's she going to say to a lot of these guys? So, I was, at the mall the other day, and,
I found these, pink pants that were oh my gosh!
Only Paula Creamer would care. Whatever. Congrats to Brittany Glencicombe. We'll see. I mean, Marissa Baena really didn't go anywhere last year, so whatever. She got some, 500 grand, and
yeah, well, it's a different format. Match play, you're going to see some of these unknowns kind of pull it out because you can, it's a different format.
Yeah, and Michelle Wee's driving was probably one of her biggest flaws. And it was a little weird. She said she had some bad breaks when really she meant to say she had some bad shots. And then she used a similar line after the first round of the John Deere Classic, where she said she had some bad breaks, but she had three or four penalty shots. She had to take drops and stuff. Those aren't bad breaks, so she's getting criticized left and right for saying...
Reinterpreting reality.
Basically, yeah. It's like, yeah, I would have broke 90 if I had, not hit those 20 shots. So I think I played pretty well, It's like that, I would have broken par if I hadn't three-putted 8 greens, so yeah. I played pretty well,
That's it.
Someone at her PR agency needs to figure out how to work with her, Give her some prepared slides, little note cards, and say, only say this. Say this if you play badly. Say this if you play well,
That's right.
It's almost like just give her a Mad Lib kind of thing with some pre-filled in answers,
It's almost like, for the sake of being positive about her play and trying to keep upbeat, she fails to miss what actually happened.
Something like that. Well, she failed to finish her second round in the John Deere Classic. She pulls out, so we'll talk about that in a bit. We'll be right back after this message from Titleist. Stay with us.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to lounge my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
Welcome back. We want to start off with a site forum topic. And someone started a forum with a simple question, which would happen first, Guillen pars or Woods gets a base hit? So we had some rigorous discussion. In fact, we got three pages here. So, Eric, what was your take on that whole thing?
I think I started the thread. It was Ozzie Guillen. He was on the Big Break All-Star Challenge or something like that. So the manager of the White Sox, the world champion White Sox, says, I think I could get a par on the PGA Tour before Tiger Woods could get a base hit in the major leagues. Someone later asked Tiger about it at the Western Open. He said, I'll take a bet on that, And my thought is, I saw Guillen play. He missed a 2-foot putt. His swing looks, Barkley-esque. And, it's just, I don't see him getting a par. I think par is a tough score to get. His best chance would obviously be a par 3. But on the PGA Tour, those, a short one is 160. So I just, and then he might miss the 2-foot par putt. So I think a guy with reasonable hand-eye coordination, like Tiger Woods, could eke out a base hit. You can get a fluke base hit a lot easier than you can get a fluke par. Because you still got to hit at least 3 good, decent shots to get a par. So what do you think?
Well, I'm going to take the other side. I mean, the question is, would an at-bat be equal to every time he went on a hole? That's another question. I mean, you could just go, yeah, okay, so, I think that he would get a par before Tiger gets a base hit. I mean, you're looking at the fact that most of these guys with a good batting average are batting 300. You know, these guys are the best in the world at what they do. So I'm going to say that he's going to be able to step up. Say he gets four, you know, Tiger gets four at bats. He gets four holes. I think he's going to make par because all he has to do is stick one close and make the knee knocker.
Right. So
and I think it's going
to
happen.
Let's say, because pitchers in the National League who have to bat but rarely take batting practice or anything like that bat about 150 or so. So let's take the low end of that and say Tiger's 1 for 10, or pitchers who rarely bat again are 1 for 10. You think Guillen will par 1 out of 10 holes or less?
Well, I'm not
given
sure
that a couple of those are only a couple of those are going to be par threes.
See, I don't know if Tiger's going to be flinching up there when he's got Randy Johnson staring him down. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is he going to even do as well as a pitcher?
I don't know. If he gets to 7 and he's still not out of a hit, he could lay a bunt down. You know what I mean?
This is true, and then all he'd have to have is wheels to get to first base.
All right, well, there we go. We'll be right back after this ad from Titleist. Again, stay with us.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. We have a couple Michelle Wee stories. As we said, she's withdrawn basically after going +6 in the first round and was +2 through 9 holes at the John Deere Classic. So she won't make a cut, but technically she won't miss the cut either because she's withdrawn. But it's certainly, she shot a 77 in the first round, and she said things like, considering that I had the water hazard penalties, considering that I had to call it unplayable, considering that I hit my driver like 50 yards right, I felt I played really well. we alluded to this earlier. Considering I hit 10 bad shots, I felt I played pretty well.
Yeah, you know, this really reminds me of some stuff that I used to hear in college. I had this friend who would say stuff like, you know, if I just lost 50 pounds and I worked out every day and lifted weights all the time, I could play in the NFL, you know. And or you know, I would always say to my friends as a joke, well, if I could, jump as high as Mike and I could defend like he can and shoot, like I could be in the NBA. You know, right. I mean, it's like, well, you know, okay, fine. You know, like if I did that, I could play on the PGA Tour.
Like, so... Like, if I could shoot 65, like, I could be in contention.
Perfect.
It's just, this is dumb. Again, her PR firm needs to be, like, kicking themselves in the head or something.
Well, she's just clueless.
First she has the B game comment.
Oh, that was weak.
And then she says, yeah, you know, except for, like, those bad shots I hit, I played pretty well.
I could get out there.
I could have shot a lot under par.
Yeah, I'd shoot, like, 115 or something. I just brought my B game. It was, like, my E game. I mean.
Yeah, except for those 40 shots I didn't like. I played pretty well.
Yeah, she's just young. I mean, she just doesn't get it. I do not think she even gets what's coming out of her mouth. She does not even understand it. I mean, she's 16 years old, but somebody should coach this girl.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I just don't think she's all there upstairs.
They
say you have to be dumb to play golf. Well, maybe we'll find out.
Is that what they say?
They say being dumb helps because then you don't overanalyze everything.
Oh, okay.
Like,
well,
ball, hole. Okay, got it. That's all you think about, right?
Okay. Well, that's my problem. That's why I suck so much because I'm so smart.
And those that are smart turn out to be analysts like Nick Faldo, who's the Golf Channel has announced that Nick Faldo will join them next year. Nick Faldo, of course, currently working for ABC, who put the middle finger up to the PGA Tour earlier this year in negotiations. So Nick Faldo moving over to the Golf Channel in 2007 for their Thursday-Friday round coverage. A good move, but the Golf Channel really has, I mean, who the heck is going to be working with him, you know?
Yeah, well, Jerry, I mean, this was a, you know, you could say this is a great start. I mean, Faldo's a great commentator, and I always enjoy his little...
They're 1% of the way there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they've got a long way to go. You know, can Faldo right the ship? I don't know.
I mean, they've got Peter Osterhaus. So, okay, they've got two people now. I'm sorry, but the rest of the people there at the Golf Channel, besides maybe Dottie Pepper, but they can't use her for everything, suck. It'll be interesting to see what the heck happens, because if Jerry Foltz ever appears on anything, I'm... turning it off.
Yeah, well, it's really unfortunate, kind of backing up, that you're going to have a channel like the Golf Channel that's going to try to attract other viewers. I mean, most people are going past ABC, NBC. They're checking things out. Hey, what's this? And then they see someone they recognize, like Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, who the heck ever it is. But who's gonna hang out on the Golf Channel? But anyway, that's another story.
Well, at least it's only Thursday, Friday coverage. It's not weekend coverage. So
good point.
We'll see.
Excellent.
We'll see.
Now, we had another story. It was pretty interesting here. A fellow named Sunjay Kittempurer.
Something.
Say that three times fast. Anyway, this novice golfer knocks in two aces within five holes.
Playing at treetops with Rick Smith.
Yeah, and you got people like Fred Couples, Chris DeMarco, Stadler, Andy North, all there just flat out.
I think he said he's never parred a hole before.
Never birdied. He had never birdied a hole before the aces and still hasn't.
Two holes, 67 million to one odds.
Not bad.
I bet he bought drinks after the round. What do you think?
But the second hole in one, he hit off of a tree, which I think is extremely impressive.
It's very impressive. Did he call it first? Off the tree, nothing but cup.
Exactly. Where was Michael Jordan and Larry Bird when that happened?
67 million to one. They were eating their McDonald's.
There they were.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, less intimidating now or not?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I'd have to say to a certain extent, yes, that is true. He is less intimidating. I think people are used to seeing him around, and enough people have had success against Tiger Woods, which isn't a great deal of people, particularly in the final rounds with Tiger in the lead. But, I mean, enough people have won with him in the field, him in the top five, him coming second, that people know that they can do it. I mean, you watch Tiger in the early days. Man, was that impressive stuff. And people just had never seen anybody play like he had played.
I think he's lost a little bit. Not much. People are forgetting his last year, where he won two majors and was in contention in the other two. But the reason he's lost a little bit is because of his putter. It failed him at the Masters this year. It failed him at the U.S. Open last year.
Right.
His putter is not where it has always been. So that's the little bit I think he's lost. I think he's kind of gets a pass with his father for a while. But that kind of ended when he was in contention at the Western. So it'll be interesting to see how he finishes out the year. But because of his 2005 season, I'm going to say he's barely lost any. And the part that he's lost is maybe they don't fear him making as many putts as he used to.
Well, and I don't think you're going to have as many people just flat out having meltdowns hearing the crowd roar for Tiger.
Right.
You know, people are going to just stay in the moment and they're not going to be dropping as many shots.
Right.
I don't.
Plus, maybe they'll say, hey. Maybe he'll just shank one.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah.
Or maybe not very possible.
There's an article here that says, don't expect much from Phil Mickelson at Royal Liverpool. What do you think Phil's odds are of playing well or possibly winning at Liverpool, the British Open?
Well, he didn't give us much hope at the Western, did he? I mean, he didn't play very well.
If he was practicing the shots he needs at Hoylake, then 75s aren't going to cut it.
No, 75s, yeah, exactly. 75's not going to do it. And, you know, I was disappointed to see him play like that. I still think Phil is playing well right now.
But he's never played well in the British Open.
But as funny as that sounds, I don't know. I don't think he's going to win. I'm not predicting Phil to win, but I don't think he's going to miss the cut.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think he'll be in contention, though. There are several reasons in this. You just check our show notes. You can read the reasons. But whether Open Championships require adaptation, and mental pictures, one and two are about the same on this list. But check it out. Phil's a high ball hitter, and the British Open has a lot of wind, basically. The SEC is looking to perhaps end live broadcasting. Basically, everything would be on tape delay so that, you know, when maybe Tiger, you know, hits a shot and says, God damn it, Tiger, or worse, that wouldn't slip through, basically, or, you know, some dumbass fan says something, like dumbass, then it won't.
Dumb beep!
Yeah, it won't get through to the air. It'd be interesting to see if that happens. I mean, basically, it'd be a big change for professional sports to suddenly go to tape delay.
Yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head on that. I'd rather see the Nazis, you know, standing there with like a 5 second, 10 second, 30 second, 1 minute delay. I mean, whatever it takes to catch the odd whoops.
Yeah.
I mean, radio shows do it.
Right. Whatever. I don't think it's a terribly big issue. They're mostly looking at other sports, but possible for golf with, you know, Tiger being the obvious example there. Pat Perez seems to have calmed down, so we don't have to worry about him flipping the ball to Bird anymore. But here's a quick article here on metal spikes. About 25% of PGA Tour players still use them. Jeff, do you think they should be legal for PGA Tour players to use at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they should be legal.
To use metal spikes.
I think it should be legal. Enough players do it, and they believe that they have good reason to do it. And that's 25% is a lot of players.
Do you think that gives them an unfair advantage over the players who choose to respect the golf course and not tear up the greens?
No, I don't think it does give an unfair advantage. I think that it's all part of the spirit of the game. Okay. That, you know, it's sometimes you're going to have a bad roll. That's just the way it goes.
I disagree with you there. And Lee Trevino proposed a long time ago a solution. He said, let the players wearing soft spikes tap down spike marks, but don't allow the players wearing metal spikes to tap down the spike marks. Basically, you know, because he thought that everyone would then eventually wear soft spikes. All the young kids, I think the 25%, it's been coming down. It's being whittled down because all the young players only wear soft spikes, so that's all they know, that's all they wear. Players, you know, professional players swing in balance, so they don't need the grip. They could play in bare feet or tennis shoes most of the time. So, you know, I don't see much point. I mean, the world is a soft spike world now, so metal spikes, I don't like to see spike marks on TV even.
They'll just wait it out,
and then when that 25% whittles down to zero, so be it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's where they're at. I don't think right now it's necessarily reasonable to limit metal spikes. You know, this is a poor example maybe, but Natalie Gulbis, I can remember seeing a picture of her swing when she's, you know, kind of got her arms extended past the ball and her tiptoes. She's on her tiptoes, you know. I mean, we've seen Tiger swing like that. And for him, maybe metal spikes are the way to go when he's going after it. So,
speaking of Natalie Gulbis, our last thing here. She is -4 through 9 holes. The second round of the Jamie Farr Owens Corning Classic got delayed or hung up a little bit because of weather. But she's -4 through 9 holes in her second round and tied for the lead with some players that have finished their second rounds at -8. Will she win this week? Yeah, she's tied with Riley Rankin and Myeon Kim, and they finished their second round. She still has 9 holes to go, so she could go even lower, take the second round lead.
I'm going to have to stop short of saying she's going to win, but I think it's going to be very soon. Maybe that's a week. That is weak, isn't it?
That's weak.
That's a cop out.
She's going to win.
Why not? She's going to win. I saw the leaderboard.
This is her week, and if it's not, then we'll edit this part out.
Yeah, exactly. Right. As if it never happened.
All right. What happened? I don't know.
Huh?
Episode 30 happened. Thanks for joining us this week. You can check us out online at thesandtrap.com or participate in our forum. Again, you may create next week's forum topic of the week at thesandtrap.com/forum. For Jeff Smith, this is Eric Brzeski saying so long, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah,